recorded live at Corolla One Studios with Adam Carolla and board-certified physician and addiction medicine specialist, Dr. Drew Pinsky. You're listening to The Adam and Dr. Drew Show.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. No choice but on Monday to get on. Welcome once again to Adam and Dr. Drew. Of course, Dr. Drew is in New York City getting paid, so I just stay here and then...
It's a tradition that shouldn't stop with...
Dr. Bruce over there. You have this great business deal with Dr. Drew, and I've had it my whole life, which is when he decides to travel to make money, I stay back and do his job, and then when he comes back, he picks up his money. But if I go somewhere, they just run best of. That's always how it was. It's a good deal. It's an awesome deal for me.
I think you enjoy complaining about it.
I think most people would enjoy complaining about that relationship, you know.
I love hearing Drew describe you.
Drew's a good guy, but, you know, I don't think, I think if you explore the finance department between the two of us, I think there's not a jury in the land that would convict me.
No.
And I feel like he would be put behind bars, maybe kept in a hole. Look no further than my last year of Loveline when they wanted to pay him three times as much as me. We'd go to work every night and he'd get paid three times as much as me. And that for some reason that year, he got more work. He was working for like Trojan Condoms or something, and he'd be out in New York all the time, and I'd just be doing the show with you or Dr. Vinny Bubatz or whoever was hanging out, who was ever left behind, like Sloppy Seconds Doctor. And I would just sit around going, I'm getting paid one third the amount that this guy's getting paid, and he's in New York making money. He's getting paid. They flew him to Chicago or New York to do a whatever for, you know, Trojan Rubbers, and he's getting paid, but he's not here, and he's technically getting paid three times as much as me, but he's not here, and he's getting paid again in New York. It was an awesome
I don't think he was happy with the way you were treated. Just to stick up for him.
How could he tell? He was on the road all the time getting paid. Happy with the way I was treated. Look, the only way you can overcome that is to stay together. But we didn't. He signed his contract. And I feel bad because the agent I fired is dead.
Who?
Bob Eatman.
Oh.
He passed away. And he was a nice guy. And he did well by me, but after this episode where I was like, we're favored nations. You can't have one guy getting paid three times as much as the next guy. And he was like, well, what are we going to do? And then at some point, I just said, don't let Drew sign that contract. And he's like, all right. And then Drew signed the contract. And then I said, when did he sign the contract? It's been a little while. And I just went like, all right, well, you're a good guy.
Is that when you hooked up?
Obviously, you're horrible at your job, so I got to let you go.
Is that when you hooked up with Baby Doll?
Yeah.
He's a good guy because he's from Long Island.
Yeah. That's why he's a good guy. Now, I find that most, as I look at most business relationships, most people just sort of do what they do to themselves. You know, that's the way I find it with most people.
Mm.
They do it to themselves. Whatever it is, they do it to themselves. And Bob's a good guy. And I like Bob. And we're friendly and everything. But this was such a egregious mishandling of this contract in my mind that it just didn't make sense to continue with him. You know what I'm saying?
Right. Well, yeah. But do you think he was at the level as an agent where he could deal with the players that were involved? Because some of them...
No, he wasn't at that level, but I just said to him straight out, look, we've gone a year without a contract at Loveline in the past.
Yeah.
And I'm not telling you to tell Drew what to do or what not to do. I'm telling you before he signs that contract, and if he does, it'll leave me dangling. Before he signs that, we need to talk. We need to all get together and come up with some strategy that doesn't leave me dangling in the wind. And that never happened. Drew signed the contract.
That's
Bob never told me about
Bob.
It. That's why I fired Bob. And then a short time later, I signed like a $10 million morning show contract. And guess who didn't get any of that?
Bob.
Okay. So he'll be missed.
The but Peter Principle. The Peter Principle. He just didn't. He was at the level he was at. And
I get that everyone's at the level where they're at.
But it goes along with responsibility. What you're saying is people are responsible for where they end up, and that's essentially the way you see things. A lot of people make excuses for where they're at, and they say, well, I would have, could have, or should have.
We had, look, Drew's manager, Howard, was my manager, was Carson Daly's manager, was Jimmy Kimmel's manager, was Tom Green's manager. He could still be all of our managers, except for one problem.
Yeah.
He didn't do a very good job managing. So whatever it is he got, he earned. And now he doesn't have a roster, and that's completely up to him. Maybe he likes it that way. Maybe he's glad Jimmy Kimmel isn't his client today. But that was up to him. And same with me. You will decide what direction we go. He made a decision, and now that's what he did.
Yeah, that evil gleam in your eye.
Well, everybody, you decide how you want things to work. That'll be up to you.
Okay.
That'll be up to you. God, such an idiot. All right. So I just wish there'd be a little more internalization these days. That's all. So a little more internalizing.
Not so. Not there.
Hmm.
What? How, in what way?
Well, the thing that I'm kind of getting on to in life is whatever you do it to yourself. Whatever happens to you, you pretty much do it to yourself. Like I could remember very clearly with my manager and Jimmy's manager. I told you guys a story, but we were doing an award show in Vegas. Jimmy and I were flown out to present an award show in Vegas. We're staying at wherever the Mandalay Bay in the Four Seasons or the whatever, the one that has the top four floors of the Four Seasons. And we're going up the elevator, and me and Jimmy like got off on the 13th floor, and we looked inside to our manager, and we said, like, where are you going? He went, I got myself into the Four Seasons. And they're like, you did what? Oh, yeah. I made sure they gave me the Four Seasons. Have fun at the Mandalay Bay. He's like, he was bragging about how he'd taken the producers of this award show just for him, not for us, just for him. And he'd worked them over and said, I need a suite in the Four Seasons. I'm not staying at the Mandalay Bay. Where are Jimmy and Adam staying? We'll stay at the Mandalay Bay. Now, he could have said, I know a producer up at the Four Seasons. I got to blow him, and then I got to go back to the Holiday Inn, which is off the strip. But he made sure that we knew that he got himself into the Four Seasons while we were staying at the Mandalay Bay. And Jimmy and I just sort of looked at each other and went, huh, is that something you're looking for in a manager? I thought your manager was supposed to be out there helping your career, not helping their career. And we didn't even say anything. We just kind of looked at each other and went, noted. And that was one of the many reasons we decided to part ways.
Right. But isn't a lack of ability to
I didn't go to management school, but I would play that one close to the vest if I got myself into the Four Seasons. That's me.
Right.
That's my take. But a lot of people don't think that way.
But doesn't that transition to sports, like boxing, people that assess somebody's abilities and, you know, someone that's a scout or an agent for other talent? You know, some people recognize it and invest in that person. And
all right, hold on. Boxing?
Well, I was watching.
You see Bruce's batteries are getting low?
No.
You're starting to lose it now. What's going on?
No, I'm saying an agent. He didn't say, I want to keep these guys. I want to do what it takes. he put him, you know, stupid. If he expects to keep you guys as clients, he's not going to, you know, compromise and treat you disrespectfully, was essentially what that was. That's the way it would seem to me. Whereas if he's like, wow, these guys are going somewhere, he had the vision to see that and valued that. If you don't value someone.
People don't fully and thoroughly assess people. You know, when I met Jimmy, I assessed him very quickly as a very hardworking, very talented guy with like a lot of upward mobility. And he very quickly assessed me as a very funny, talented guy who could bring, could aid him in whatever he was trying to do and collaborate, you know, positively and so on and so forth. Now, when I met Jimmy, I was teaching boxing. And when I met him, he was third or fourth guy down the totem pole on a local morning show. But I still clearly assessed his ability, and he clearly assessed my ability. Other people didn't clearly assess our abilities.
That's exactly what I said.
That's exactly what you said. It just took you 20 minutes. You know when someone is boxing and...
I was watching the Mike Tyson interview. Did you see the Harvey Levin Mike Tyson?
One guy boxes.
Did you see the Mike Tyson Harvey Levin interview? And Tyson was talking about his first coach, or whatever you call a boxing instructor, saw something
Customato.
In him. Yeah.
Yeah, he saw a 13-year-old kid that weighed 185 pounds. It was all muscle. That's what he saw in him. He didn't see in him. He saw out him. Yeah. It's funny, because I just got the call today to do his show.
Wow.
Yeah. Tyson's podcast. So we'll do that. All right. Let's see. Married. Question about type 1 diabetes. SIBO. What's SIBO? Small intestine bacteria overgrowth. What's going on with all this stuff?
Oh, that's a good one.
All right. Let's talk to Steven, 33, Oregon. Steven?
Hey, guys.
What's going on?
Hmm.
Huh? Uh-oh. I think his phone just dropped off.
No.
He may call back.
What's SIBO?
Small intestinal bacterial overgrowth.
Uh-huh.
I'm just an ER physician, so these are... So, basically, you have bacteria in your colon, right?
Mm-hmm.
And in certain cases, you don't have good bowel motility like diabetes or some connective tissue things like scleroderma, what else? Or neurologic disorders. And so the bacteria start to overgrow in the small. The small intestine delivers food from the stomach, then it gets to the colon. The colon should have these bacteria. If they start overgrowing in the small intestine, then you get gas, cramping, almost like an irritable bowel syndrome type thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so people are, you know, you hear all this stuff now about people taking antibiotics. It kills bacteria. It affects your immune system. There's a big focus on where the bacteria should be, good bacteria. And so when people get an overgrowth, they get these symptoms, and you can either treat with antibiotics, try and restore the correct balance.
Everyone's eating all this goddamn yogurt now,
right? Man. Well, probiotics.
Ugh.
And there's even people that are – I saw this special. They were going down to places where – Western people had never been, and they're taking stool samples and looking what is considered "quote unquote" the normal bacterial occupancy.
All right, is it? We're all nuts. We're all pussies. But is it because everyone has been eating all the antibacterial? I mean, you know, eating all the
every time you get an antibiotic, it affects what you're.
I never had antibiotics.
You've never had an antibiotic?
No, not as a kid.
Okay.
And rarely as an adult. Very, very. I mean, I've had surgery, and they say to take it for 8 days. I take it for 4 days.
Yeah,
and
if you eat chicken or turkey or beef, you've had antibiotics. And that's the whole point. The Western biome, the bacteria that are in your system are totally skewed based on your exposure to chemicals and antibiotics. And now they're finding – it's like they did a study of people getting chemotherapy – and those that had antibiotics, I think it was in the prior 3 weeks or month, had a less of a response to the chemo, because the feeling is that the antibiotics alter the gut bacteria, and they do have a critical role in the immune system.
All right. So everyone stop eating all the antibiotics.
Well, and stop putting them. I mean, the amount of antibiotics that are just in meats and poultry and stuff like that.
Oh, really?
Unbelievable. Oh, yeah.
Well, wait a minute. Unbelievable? How much are you getting from turkey versus taking antibiotics?
Well, I don't know the levels you get, but it's significant enough that it's measurable. And just like if you look at some of the water runoff and the antidepressant levels, it's crazy.
I mean, hold on a second. I believe what you're saying about the antibiotics. If you're a kid and we over-prescribe the antibiotics and these kids have grown up getting antibiotics for everything all day, every day, then they're going to have troubles with their gut later on in life.
No. We're talking about the if you just take the average person walking around the United States and look at their gut bacteria, and there's a feeling that it's different than what would be optimal, and depends. Some people get one course of antibiotics for a sore throat. Is that going to permanently affect their gut bacteria? I don't know, but there's more and more studying and looking at what would be the optimal bacterial.
So you're saying if you got antibiotics consistently all through childhood, that doesn't make a difference?
No. I'm saying it certainly would make a difference.
I'm saying
if somebody got one course of antibiotics, I don't know what effect that has.
I said as a kid, you get antibiotics consistently all through childhood.
Huge.
We just went from no to huge. A second ago, you said no. Now you're saying it's huge.
Antibiotics affect gut bacteria, and in Western civilizations.
Okay, well then please agree when I say when a child has over-prescribed antibiotics all through childhood, it has an effect on them.
Sorry, I missed.
Okay. Now, to be fair to you, you just want to say no first. Don't start every sentence with no. So many people do that. It's horrible. It's horrible if anyone listens. If you don't listen, then it's not horrible. Most people don't listen. But I sadly am cursed with a gene called I listen. So when I say something and I'm done and you go, no, then I unfortunately believe you because you're a doctor. But it turns out yes is the answer. Now, I have rarely, if ever, taken antibiotics. My entire childhood, zero. And as an adult, if I got wrist surgery, I'd take them for a few days, and that was about it. I've taken less antibiotics than any other American I know. And thus, I have no gut culture, yeast problems, anything. I don't eat yogurt. I don't eat anything. I don't wash with Purell. I don't touch any antibiotic, anything, or antibacterial, anything. I don't mess with any of it. I don't have any problems, and I never have. And there's way too much of that out there. And I've been saying it for a long time, like antibacterial soap, knock it off with the Purell. Well, now the studies are coming in.
Oh, absolutely.
Okay. What do I know? I know everything. Steven, 33, Oregon.
Yes, sir.
Sibo.
Yes, sir.
So what is the question for Dr. Bruce?
Well, actually, I don't want Dr. Bruce to answer. I'm getting really tired of these people call and they go, yeah, hey, Adam and, alleged Dr. Bruce. I got a question for Dr. Bruce. I don't want Dr. Bruce to answer. I want Adam to answer. Okay,
yeah.
Dr. Bruce, don't care what your opinion is. Adam, I want your opinion. You ready?
I'm poised.
Hey,
How do I shoot my cum farther?
I don't know, but I will say this. And Max Pata, Gary, I don't embarrass you guys, but you're of a certain age. Probably grew up watching a fair bit of porn. Probably still do today. Mm-hmm. I get it.
Gay porn?
No, just porn. Okay. Porn.
Watch a resveratrol.
I have seen enough porn in my life. Average guys, average builds, average girth and length. And when it comes time to the money shot, it's sort of like when there's two ways like a dog can yak. Philly cheesesteak, one time he threw up like kind of on me. He just went, hurrah! And it just like shot out his mouth. But sometimes they just put their head down. They just kind of lay it out there.
Ken Jeffries has a great bit where he refers to it. He learned on a porn set as a shooter or a blobber.
Right. I would argue, now that we've removed a lot of the stigma of pornography that might have prevented young men from getting into it or young ladies from getting into it in the past, and considering there's just a plethora of young guys out there who would be happy to take $200 to bang this hot runaway chick. What are we doing with the non-shooters? I feel like if you could take male society and you could break them off into basically, let's say, four categories, all right? Shooters, sort of, you know, B-minus shooters, just sort of garden variety, semen comes out of their penis, and then this lower group, which is sort of like, it took toothpaste and you slowly rolled the end toward the center. Considering there's so many guys who would happily do this job, why not just eliminate all the B-plus or B-minus guys and all the toothpaste guys and all the blobbers and all that? Why not just get rid of them and we'll just have nothing but the shooters? Since we can all agree that that's a better form of porn, it's like saying this. It'd be like seeing an action movie where the guys all had skinny arms and guts. And you're kind of like, well, what's with that guy? And it's like, oh, I want to do action movies. It's like, yeah, but no, we want the guy with the big arms and the big shoulders and everything. Like, well, I guess we could use him too. Like, no, eliminate the guys that can't fit. They're not fitting the requirements of the role. And let's replace them with the shooters.
How about the retrograde ejaculators?
Or the retrograde ejaculators where the guys who pinch off their own taint.
No, it goes back into your bladder. It doesn't even come out.
That's what I'm saying, but you can do it by taking your fingers.
Oh.
You not know that one?
Oh, no, I'm
You don't
sorry.
Know that move? I'll show you in the bathroom.
Oh, God.
It's a move where there's a lot of guys who do that. It's like a smokeless cigarette.
Yeah, that's not good.
They literally used to talk to guys all the time back in the day who would have at themselves, and right at the end, like the guys who sneeze and pinch their nose, like, you know, like that thing is like your ears blow out.
Oh,
Guys would go right before the end, like, because they'd be like,
I was at my grandma's house and I was beating off on the sofa and I didn't want to, you know, so I did the pinch move.
Yeah. Well, if you hold your nose and the pressure goes somewhere.
That's
so
what I'm
this
saying.
This is not good.
A fan.
I don't recommend that.
I don't recommend that either. I do recommend nightstand though, by the way. I've got the iPhone, got the iPad, got the AirPods, got those as well. End of the day, all my devices, they can be a mess, and that's why I got nightstand. Put them all by the nightstand on the bed there. Get everything charging up, everything in order. It's a charging station that charges up to 9 devices. And if you have kids who have devices, or you got the old lady, she's got a device, you need capacity, man. It'll do up to 9 devices at the same time. No stacking devices. Protect your screens from scratching. Plus, optional wireless charger that works with any iPhone 8, 8 Plus, the new iPhone X. It's compatible with Android and smartphones as well. Not some big Chinese company. I want you to understand this about nightstands. Started on Etsy. Made in America. Today, free shipping. How about that, kids? Let's get ready for Christmas. I got a sale coming up. Our listeners get 15% off any order over $80 by entering promo code ADS at checkout. Go to nightstand.com. That's NYTSTND.com for the perfect gift. Check it out. You'll love it. All right. So where was I? Question about diabetes up there. Father's an alcoholic. How to handle it? Got married. Let's talk to Drew down here. Drew?
Yeah, hey, guys. How's it going?
Good, man. 26. What's going on?
First off, Ace Man, loved hearing you on the Harbaugh's podcast from Ann Arbor. So it was good. It was a good listen and very interesting. But I get married at the end of the month and saw Mike Leach in his press conference. I don't know if you saw that from Washington State. Gave his 2 cents to the reporter on getting married. What's your advice? And Dr. Bruce, I'll let you go ahead and chime in on this as well.
Thank you.
What was the Mike Leach one?
He was the one who said that.
The coach. Yeah.
Yeah, and basically said just stay out of the way. And it was funny because pretty much all of that was true for me, where they wanted my opinion on everything, and then as soon as I gave it, it was, oh, no, it's the opposite. So just curious as to, you know, what you thought going into marriage and if you had any words of wisdom.
Well, I mean, obviously the balance is staying out of the way while still feigning interest. So you got to, that's the balance. And I don't know how much interest you do have. Like, I didn't get very involved in my wedding except for paying for 1,000% of it, which you could argue is involved. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
How involved were you with the dinner? Well, I paid for all of it, so that's involved to some degree, yes. I grew up thinking that the father of the bride was supposed to get involved with that aspect of it. Turns out not so much on my end. I think if there are things that you feel strongly about, I'd say mainly in the food department,
mm-hmm.
you might want to chime in with that. The color schemes and stuff, who really cares? And look, it's a woman's day. It's really their thing. Let them do it.
Yeah, but no bachelor party disasters where there's insanity. Don't you think that's a big problem for a lot of guys that things happen with the bachelor party or they...
I don't know. I don't think that's what Drew's talking about. Drew, is that what you're talking about?
Just any advice in general going forward, whether it be the wedding or marriage itself, you know, and that's a good one, Dr. Bruce, about the bachelor party. She had a friend who actually went and ended up with two different men in her room, and so that was not a good situation, and definitely avoiding that.
Yeah. That's the bachelorette party? Or...
One of her friends had a bachelorette party, and... Yeah, ended up with two different men in a room, and that was not a good situation, but yeah.
it's a kind of flawed premise. We're going to go out one more time, and then people are going to get pissed. It's a pretty flawed premise, but fun. Here's what I'd say. I would say, you know, as far as a bachelor party, you know, like, don't go to Vegas and don't go to some place, like, off the beaten path. That seems a little more like, hey, you guys are going to do a bunch of fishing or something, and then import whores. See what I'm saying? You don't get in much trouble. As far as the relationship goes, I've always said this, two TiVos and plenty of square footage. Like, just have some room. Do not sit there and live on top of each other. It's hard to do. I've lived in the past with women in smallish apartments, and it's difficult. Bruce is just sort of scanning through his phone now. He's completely checked out.
No, I'm not. I was going to...
I'll double down on what you're saying. I'm in about 1,100 square feet, and we got the two TiVos, thank God, but there's not a lot of space.
Yeah, and believe me, 1,100 square feet is not even that small compared to some of the stuff
What I was going to say is having kids, I think it's like the earlier on another show we did, the guy that they have kids. If you wait to have the kids, I think, and make sure you got a solid relationship. When you have kids real early after marriage, I think that's...
Yeah, you're 26, you're young, so get the career going.
Right.
Make sure everything is, you know, get your first house, you know, save up for your down payment. Don't spend it all on the wedding.
Right. I mean,
kind
one
of
the reasons, the big problems, I think, financial stressors when you overspend and you go into debt early on in the marriage. That's another.
Yeah, and I do not abide by spending $35,000 on a wedding and then going back to an apartment for 5 years. If you got money, that's going to a down payment on a house. You guys got to get started with a home.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Let's see. Type 1 diabetes. Guy's been on hold for a while. Michael, 33, Corona.
Hey, Ace Man, Dr. Spaz.
Hey.
Oh, man.
How are you?
Poor you and Corona. Ugh.
Yeah. Jeez. Plenty of lovely wins today.
Oh, my God.
I have a meeting. I have a meeting there every Thursday afternoon. If I leave after 3 o'clock, it can take an hour to go 20 miles. The whole inland area. If you could talk to the traffic congestion, Adam. That's not one of your favorite rants.
I've already screamed.
Southern California is out of control.
It's out of control. It's out of control.
Nightmare.
And it's to the point where I feel almost like there's like hold on. at some point, it's dereliction of duty. It's like you're actually punishing your citizens. Our fucking horrible mayor, Garcetti, does nothing but talk about homeless people and making speeches about when these prisoners are paroled, we owe them a debt of gratitude. It's, shut up and let's talk about traffic, can we? I mean, it is a major problem and affects everybody. And you lose billions in productivity. And not only that, but just in a world where all we do is talk about quality of life, your quality of life is not great when you're sitting in traffic all day, every day. And this city is getting worse every single year, and we never address it. I was screaming on my show, we just need a traffic czar. I want somebody who's like in charge of traffic in the city who goes, all I do is figure out ways to alleviate traffic and just start doing it. So we have a mayor in a city that has the most traffic in the world, and the mayor never brings up traffic. I mean, I talked to the guy once, and I was like, I think I was talking to him about, left turn arrows or like the freeway, the left lane, passing lane, whatever. He had no idea what I was talking about, any of it. It's as if he'd never thought about it, ever. And it's never discussed. I had Lieutenant Governor, what's his nose in here?
Gavin Newsom.
Gavin Newsom. Oh. I tried to talk to that asswipe about traffic. It was like he never heard the word before. He was laughing the whole time. He was talking to me like I was a child.
Isn't he going to be the next governor?
You're not in traffic. You are traffic.
He's the biggest sack. He's the biggest, emptiest fucking vessel of who's ever sat across from me. And he's arrogant about his ignorance. He's an ignorant idiot who's arrogant about it. And if you want him running your city, fucking God.
Run the state.
Run the state.
Isn't his ex-wife Kimberly Guilfoyle, the one on Fox?
Yes,
she
is.
That's a bizarre combination.
He's a sack filled with Brill Cream and Lavoris. He's empty.
Well, the
I'm assuming there's more to him, but he sits and lies and shoots out platitudes. And he's an absolute waste of space. He offers nothing. It's sad to me that this guy could potentially run the state. And boy, though, if you don't like traffic now, wait till this shithead gets in charge, because he wasn't interested in any ideas I threw at him.
Yeah.
Zero.
Well, it's gotten worse. I'll leave here 3 hours back to Riverside or Redlands, wherever I'm going.
Yeah, Garcetti says you suck his balls. He doesn't give a shit about you. What do you do? Pay taxes? Oh, well, screw you. Screw you, taxpayers. Hey, Michael, 33 Corona.
Yes, sir.
I never thought I'd be living in a environment filled with this many stupid people. I never thought. I could never imagine when I was a kid that the leaders would be this. Not only are they stupid, but Garcetti and these guys, they're completely apathetic. They have no interest in the biggest problem we have. Garcetti, all he thinks about is homeless people. There's no interest in taxpayers. Zero. Oh, Gavin Newsom. What a sack of shit.
He'll be your governor soon.
Yes. And by the way, when people say to me, oh, when's Gavin Newsom coming back on your show? My answer, never. Now, never. But Adam, why wouldn't you let him back on the show? No. That pussy's not about to come in here and get torn a third asshole by me. He already got a second one the last time he was in here. He's not going to get a third one. And who wants to get beat up by a guy who couldn't cut it academically to junior college? Garcetti can come back anytime he wants. He can bring any subject he wants. I do not have to prepare. He can bring all the notes he wants, and I will fucking pummel his ass. And the reason I'll pummel his ass is not because I'm smarter than he is. It's because he's wrong. And so it's easy to win when you're arguing with a person who was wrong.
You're probably smarter, too.
Oh, sure, I'm smarter than he is. Fucking end table smarter than that asshole. Go ahead, Michael.
So I had a clinical question, but Spaz seems a bit delayed today, so I wanted to switch gears real quick.
How dare you? I'm getting beat up.
I know you just went on a rant.
Go for it.
So I'm a professional in a major sort of healthcare organization, and I'm just trying to get some advice on how to weather the storm with this whole sensitivity issue that's going on. I try to be direct and straightforward with things that I ask and request, but more and more frequently I seem to get met with people that are personally injured and offended if there's not some sort of smiley face or emoticon or, you know, softly conveyed message.
Yeah.
And it just seems to be growing.
Garcetti's pretty upset about this whole thing. He's spending most of his time thinking about this and thinking about the homeless population. The zero with traffic, but about this, very upset. Look, Michael, here's what I would say. If you are going to attempt to live and thrive in this kiddie pool filled with pussies that we've now sort of decided as a society, you're going to have to get along. I would suggest you start planning your escape. I don't think I would work very well in this new world order either, and thus I've built a business that doesn't require that.
Yeah.
But I could not go into other businesses and thrive there. I don't think I could be a professor on a college campus. It wouldn't work. No. So I would say, Michael, you're going to have to act like basically all you sane people that are trapped on Pussy Island with all these assholes running everything. You can pretend like you're in prison. And if I was in prison, well, I'm a white guy. So I'd probably get recruited by the white supremacists, right? The neo-Nazi group. Because I can't go into the Mexican lowriders. I can't go into Crips. I can't go into Bloods, right? So at some point, some guy would come up to me and he'd go, "Hey, you hate them Jews, don't you?" And I'd go, "Yeah, I do. Yeah, Jews, hate them. Blackville, hate them. Mexicans, hate them. Okay, good. Protect me. I got about 4 more years here. I'll get along, and I'll do what I need to do to get along so I don't get stabbed in prison. But as soon as I get out of prison, I'm going to go do my own thing."
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I would equate working in California now to living in prison.
But Michael's saying it goes against his grain and is stressful. So how do you?
You work that much harder to get out. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. You have to watch what you're saying.
Take lots of walks. Mm-hmm. All right, I'll tell you about TrueCar. You should watch what you're buying with TrueCar, man. Shopping for a car, make sure you're getting real pricing on actual inventory. Not the stuff that a lot of times people configure cars online, only to find out they're not available. TrueCar, real pricing on actual inventory. Not pricing offered by TrueCar, but pricing from an actual TrueCar certified dealer. Over 3 million cars sold by over 13,000 TrueCar certified dealers nationwide. So if you're going to go new, you're going to go used, you got to go with TrueCar. Save an average of over $3,000 off MSRP. Let's get going with that, people, man. Let's get going, man. When you're ready to buy, you visit TrueCar, see what other people paid. You enjoy a more confident buying experience. You compare the cars, apples to apples. You get your certificate. You lock in your price. You go to your certified dealer, and you pick up your car. You have a more confident car buying experience at TrueCar. Some features not available in all states. All right. Live basic cable classic and or commentary. That is Cobra, man. Cobretti. Thursday, January 25th, Irvine Improv. We're going to sell that badass out, man. Come on out. Say hi. Corolla Drinks. They got a holiday special. Just go to CorollaDrinks.com. Say hi to Lynette over there. Chassis. Lots of good offerings over at Chassis.com. CHASSY.com. And get some buck slips. We got the white and the blue pack now. Yeah. Get it on, man. Also, you can hit up Dr. Spaz at Dr. Bruce H. Until next time, Adam Carolla for Dr. Bruce. Same. Mahalo.
You know that thing you've always been too scared to go for? It seems like you'll never have the guts. Then a cancer diagnosis. And doing that thing becomes way less scary. I would know. I've always wanted a black belt. And today, the only thing standing in my way is a few wooden boards. It's been a lot of hard work and 5 years since I beat cancer at Ohio Health. Bring it on. You keep making plans.
Visit OhioHealth.com/keepmakingplans to learn more.
I chose Columbus State because I wanted to advance my career. After years of working as an electrician for other contractors, I learned to run my own business. Now, I'm my own boss, and I'm helping to train the next generation of electricians.
Apply today at csdc.edu.